This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Good morning to you all. I'm Pastor Brian. I'm so glad to be with you again this morning as we continue studying the Word of God together, as we speak about the great New Testament conversions. And today we're going to take up the subject, the Queen's Treasurer. And I want to read from Acts chapter 8 and from verse 26. And this is what it says. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." And so he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, and he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I understand unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his justice was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or some other man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at the scripture, preached Jesus to him. You got that? He preached Jesus to him. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Do you notice that? He went on his way rejoicing. The greatest day in the life of any Christian is the day of his or her conversion. There are other red letter days, but most noteworthy of all is the day when God's grace triumphed and we passed from death to life. Have you passed from death to life? Because that's what John's Gospel tells me. In John chapter 5, we read these words in verse 24. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." There we've got it. We've passed from death to life. The conversion we are to consider in our study today is that of a man from Ethiopia. He held a very high position in the court of the queen. He was, in fact, the queen's treasurer. We read that in scripture. And after the flood, the earth, there was repeopled through three men, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, three sons of Noah. And from Shem came the Jewish race. From Ham came all the people of Africa, of the world, and from Japheth came the Gentiles. And this is in Acts chapter 8, verse 9 and 10. And this is what it tells us in Acts chapter 8, verse 9 and 10. "But there was a certain man called Simon previously, that was a sorcerer, who previously practiced sorcery in the city, astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all heed. From the least to the greatest, this man is the great power of God." This man is the great power of God. We read that. And so we see here very clearly that the Ethiopian people, Saul of Tarsus representing the Jewish people, Cornelius representing the Gentiles. This man from Ethiopia was no ignoramus. He was educated, he was alert, and probably quite wealthy. He was hungry for the Lord, for he had traveled all the way from his own country, and he in Africa in order to worship God in Jerusalem. And while he was there, he came into possession of a scroll, which was part of the prophecy of Isaiah. And on his way home, he was reading, but God was at work in a wonderful way. Do read these verses carefully and see the marvelous way in which the Lord reached out for this soul and sent his servant Philip to lead him into the fullness of the blessing of God. There are several outstanding things which the Queen's treasurer would always remember in connection with his conversion. Let us consider them. Number one, he would always remember the place where it happened. Being converted in such a definite experience that one can pinpoint the time and the place where it happened. We could ask Matthew, the tax collector, or Peter, or the dying thief, or Saul of Tarsus, or Lydia, or the jailer to tell us when they were and they were converted, and they would all be able to give an answer very quickly. And in what different places, and sometimes strange places, God meets with souls and saves them. Where were you saved, can I ask you this morning? At home or abroad? During the day or during the night time? On land or on the sea? If you cannot actually remember the place or the time where it happened, the important thing is to know that this has happened and that you are here and now trusting in a Savior. We turn back to John's Gospel again and we read from chapter 9 and verse 25. And this is what it says to us in verse 25. He answered and said, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see." You get that? I was blind, but now I see. Secondly, he would always remember the preacher who God used. Sometimes the Lord works by communicating his word directly to the soul, as he did in the case of Saul of Tarsus. You remember Saul there on the Damascus road? Verses 3 we read, this is what it says in chapter 9, verses 3. "As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground, heard the voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you, Lord?' Then the Lord said, 'I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' So he, trembling and astonished, said, 'Lord, what do you want me to do?' Then the Lord said to him, 'Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do.'" But very often he uses a preacher, someone through whom he announces the message. We need to understand that very clearly. He uses somebody. He uses a preacher. Somebody comes across your path and directs you. We read here in 1 Corinthians 1:21. This is what it tells us. In 1 Corinthians 1:21, "For since the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe." There you got it, those who believe. But very often, he uses somebody to come across your path. In this case, the preacher was Philip, a layman who was filled with the Holy Spirit, who had a burning passion for the salvation of others. And he had been wonderfully used in big meetings in Samaria. When we read Acts chapter 8 again, we read in Acts chapter 8, verse 5 to 8, and this is what it says in verses 5. "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them, and the multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many who were possessed, and many were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in the city." Did you get that? There was great joy joy in the city because people had heard about Jesus and they came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But now God had directed him to the desert of Gaza in order that he might lead this one man to the Lord. And we read again here in Acts chapter 8, verse 26. And this is what we read in verse 26. Now the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise, go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." You got that very clear. This is desert. So he rose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot. He was reading Isaiah the prophet. There you are. He was reading from Isaiah the prophet. And then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake his chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading? Do you understand what you are reading?" What was the portion of Scripture? It was Isaiah chapter 53. Because we are told this very clearly. He was reading from Isaiah chapter 53, and we read this in verse 5 and 6. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to them. Well, who did he preach? Christ to them. And multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Philip immediately preached the gospel from this portion of God's word, explaining the truth. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Do you get that? And he explained these truths. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21, we read, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." And then we read again from Hebrews chapter 7. And this is what it tells us in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25. We read these words. It says, "Therefore, he is able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." You got that? What an ideal picture we have here. He's able to save them. And this is equivalent to verse 37 that we've been studying today. Verse 37, this is what it says. "Then Philip said, 'If you believe in your heart, you may.' And he answered, 'I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God.'" Do you get that? He says, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." This man truly believed on the Lord, received him as Savior, and called upon him for salvation. John 1 verse 12, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons and the daughters of God, to as many as believe on his name." And we read again in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. It says here, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the only way for a sinner to be saved. Number four, he would always remember, the publicity which accompanied his conversion. It is evident that Philip had instructed the queen's treasurer about baptism, about the Lord's command from Matthew 28, "Going to all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." We read again here in Acts chapter 8, again, verse 36 to 39. "Now when they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?' Then Philip said, 'If you believe with all your heart, you may.'" If you believe. He answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." What do you believe? to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Peter, Philip, away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way. What? He went on his way rejoicing. There was no hesitation on the part of this new convert. He was eager to obey the Lord, whom he now loved and trusted and wanted to serve all with all his heart. He was willing to make an open confession before all the officials who were traveling with him through the desert. He was now a Christian and he wanted everybody to know it. How is it with you? That's the question this morning. How is it with you? It might be useful exercise to consider the following outline, which makes the New Testament teaching of believers being baptized the example that we have, that Jesus went down into the water to be baptized by John the Baptist. He said, so we fulfill all righteousness. We do that which is right. And then in Matthew 28, go into all the world, preaching the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the triune God, the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And when we read in Acts chapter 8 and verse 12, and when they believed, Philip, as he was preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus, both men and women, they were baptized. Men and women were baptized. That's the candidates. They were baptized. There's a significance of this as well that we have to understand. If we turn to Romans chapter 6, and I read from verse 3 to 6, this is what it says. Or do you not know, as many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him through baptism into death. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because you see, when you come to know Jesus, it's like a marriage service. When a couple loves each other, they want to be married. They have rings they exchange to show they belong to each other. Baptism is saying, I belong to Jesus. And we experience the death and the burial, going under the water and being raised to newness of life. But that has taken place in our lives already when we've come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, because we want to follow his command. The motive is to love, because we love him. We want to do what is right. We follow his commands. Number 5. He would always remember the peace and joy which filled his soul that day and every day that followed. The story ends in, as we read in Acts chapter 8, it ends in verse 39. Now when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way. How? He went on his way rejoicing. He went on his way rejoicing. Of course he did. How could it be otherwise? He had now peace with God. That's what Romans 5 verse 1 tells us. Therefore, having peace with God, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the peace of God. We read again in Philippians, and Philippians tells us something that is profound when we read here in Philippians chapter 4. And this is what Philippians chapter 4 tells us. Philippians chapter 4. And these are the words I read, Philippians 4 and verses 6 and 7. It says this, 6 and, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that wonderful? The peace of God will be in your heart and in your mind. There can be no peace with God, and we cannot know the peace of God until the Lord Jesus Christ becomes our personal Savior. Do you know this joy? Peace and joy unspeakable. 1 Peter 1:8, Peter speaks about this. You have joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the joy of sins forgiven. My name's written in the Lamb's book of life. When I die, I'm going to heaven. And the joy of knowing that your name is written in heaven. Do not rejoice that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice, Jesus said to his disciples in Luke 10:20, that your name is written down in heaven. And the joy of full surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, Master, whose I am, purchase thine own alone to be. By thy blood and spotless lamb, shed so willingly for me, let my heart be all thine own. Let me live to thee alone. That's what we're called to do as Christians, as we live from day to day. And here we see this great conversion of the queen's treasurer. It was that Ethiopian man, and Philip helped him. He came alongside of him, and he came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. He followed his command, and he lived for Jesus. We are not told, but we believe he loved and served Jesus for the rest of his life. Can I ask you this morning, the question you need to know this morning, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the divine Son of the living God? The Bible says you've got to believe in him. That's the new covenant. We need to believe in Jesus. The Bible says in Romans, we need to believe in our hearts, confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we do that, you call on the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. You will know that you know that you know him, that you are saved. That's the promise of God's word to you this morning. Have you opened your life, your heart, to Jesus Christ? He says this morning to you from Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and I'm knocking. If you'll open the door, I'll come in. You have to open the door. Will you do that today? He's knocking. He's calling you. You didn't choose me. I chose you. He's calling you. Will you say yes to Jesus this morning? Why don't you pray this prayer with me? Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me on Calvary's cross for all my sins. Thank you that all my sins have been forgiven, past, present, and future. Thank you that now I'm a child of God. I believe that Jesus Christ is the divine Son of God. He died and paid the price in full on Calvary's cross. And because of the finished work of the cross, I can now know that I'm a child of God. I now want to love you and serve you forever for the rest of my life. I can't do it by myself. I need the help of the Holy Spirit who comes to make Jesus real in my life and in my experience. Bless and guide me today in Jesus' name. Thank you for coming in Jesus' name. Amen. If you pray that prayer, you become a member of the family of God around the world this morning, and I praise God for that. If you need any further counseling, please contact 021-180-5744, 021-180-5744, or you may contact me, Pastor Brian, and you can contact me at my church office. It is 021-552-4096, 021-552-4096, Monday to Thursday between 9 o'clock and 12 noon every day. I'll be glad to assist you and to help you. I pray this has been a help to you today. I pray it's been a blessing to you. Today, I pray that God will bless you and God will guide you in Jesus' name. I thank you all.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.